Hi, you're listening to The Front Porch, where we bring people together with diverse views to try to find common ground. And this week, we're going to take on a very sensitive topic, I must say, in Appalachia, even more so than politics or religion in some ways, outsiders. I'm joined today by Rick Wilson with the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Lori Lynn, a columnist with the Charleston Daily Mail. Hey, Lori.
Hi.
Is it fair to say, Rick, that you're the insider here among the three?
To the manor born, yes.
Have you ever lived any place outside of West Virginia?
No, not for any length of time.
That's pretty insider.
Born, raised, educated. They're going to have to kill me to get rid of me. So,
I've been here off and on for 20 years, but was definitely born and raised someplace else. I think that still qualifies me as a sort of outsider. And Lori, how about you?
Yes, both of my maternal grandparents were born here, but I was not. I grew up in Virginia, and this is the sixth state that I've lived in, including places I've been in school.
So I think this is a story that haunted all three of us. Marisha and Jesse Camp, who are photographers that are from out of state, they're driving through West Virginia, and in particular, McDowell County. They're taking pictures, and they pull over and talk to some kids. They move on. They stop at a gas station. They go across the street, and then they come back, and their car is blocked in by this van that's driven by a woman named Jennifer Adkins. And she and soon after, some other people come up, and they're asking why are they taking these pictures of their kids. A photographer named Roger May actually got the audio that was recorded at the incident by the photographers here. You're going to hear them, and you're going to hear Jennifer Adkins and a couple other people.
No pictures of any children on it.
No, and you can check it.
Not of your kids. I can show you, like, Jesus Christ, we didn't stop and, like, approach, like...
Yeah, you guys are making us out to be, like,
you guys are really making us out to be people that we're not, and,
what,
like...
Don't look in the mirror.
Your bodies
don't look
up
like
here.
That's
hey. Let me take pictures of kids. Up these hollers.
Why are you taking pictures of kids for?
We are not. We're on vacation.
Dude,
we take pictures of houses.
You
don't even live around here. You don't need to take pictures of even a goddamn rock. Put your camera away.
God damn it, we're on vacation.
Put your camera away. I don't give a damn where you're from.
Lori, you and I talked a little bit about this and how, on one hand, you were very interested in going to McDowell County, but on the other hand, incidents like this make you a little concerned.
Yeah, I'm... white. My husband is Asian American and my kids are, you know, biracial. And there were people here in Charleston, friends of ours, who said, yeah, you want to be really careful about going down to the southern part of the state, which I found pretty hard to believe. But then when you read it, something like this, it kind of validates it. And, you know, my own impulse to go down, you question that too, because why did I want to visit? Well, I'm curious. Does that make me part of the problem? Am I part of this kind of poverty porn going down and you know, and you don't want to be one of those people.
There's a history of people coming to Appalachia for cultural reasons. They come, they get what they need, and they leave.
Yeah, the term I like to use for that is cultural strip miners, you know, that there's a certain exotica or a certain cachet that comes from things in Appalachian culture that people may want to come and, you know, film, record, write down, document, and then take away. It's another kind of appropriation. And again, I mean, think about other communities that have been colonized or dominated for periods. You'll have cultural appropriation there as well.
You mean like it's the same thing as when a white artist comes in and copies a song that a black artist is singing, and then the white artist gets famous and rich off of it.
You're trying to get me to say something bad about Elvis, and I'm not going there, Scott. So.
And what's the difference between someone who's a cultural strip miner and somebody who is maybe not from here originally but being respectful to the culture? What's the difference?
And that's why I think, again, there's a big difference between someone from another place and what people consider to be an outsider. How do you approach the place? How do you approach the state? Do you come to dump your cargo and go away or take what you want and leave? Again, it's not a matter of place of origin. It's kind of how you are when you're here.
I was a Vista worker on Big Ugly Creek, and I had a little bit of that missionary zeal, I guess. I wanted to help people. You know, being from Iowa, I didn't understand how Appalachian communities worked. And so I go in there, and on one hand, we succeeded in taking an old elementary school, and we had no money, no resources, and the women mostly of the community and a couple of retired miners got together, got buckets of water out of the creek, and mucked this place out, and we made it into a special place for the community again. It was such a great experience of people coming together. On the other hand, I also tried to become part, while I was a Vista down in Big Ugly, of our local volunteer fire department, the Hearts Volunteer Fire Department. And I did all the training. I, you know, learned how to use the hose. I was so excited, and I go to the volunteer fire meeting to be coronated and joining the group, and they rejected me. I mean, that was just shocking to me that any volunteer fire department would say no to a volunteer. The rumor was I was supposed to be taking over the volunteer fire department and, you know, get to control the trucks and all that. So, I mean, that's my experience.
We even had some of that coming here to Charleston. There was... I don't know if it was said quite this baldly, but nearly, you know, what are you running from? Why would you come here? Why would you leave a good job, this is to my husband, in Washington and take a pay cut and come here? What did you screw up? What, you know, what are you being punished for?
You've been banished to West Virginia.
Exactly. And it's a little bit of an inferiority, a sense of inferiority that I think people in this state would do well to leave behind.
What's the answer to the question? Why did y'all move here?
There are good reasons to move here. There's a good quality of life. Things are a lot easier. Our kids have a yard instead of a 4x8 patch of grass outside a townhouse. Our house here costs a third what our house cost in D.C., and it was a good job opportunity for my husband. There are obviously a lot of different reasons why people could move here.
If you look at the history of West Virginia in particular for over 100 years, there's been that brutal exploitation by outside economic interests. I mean, people losing their land. There's a county in West Virginia where the courthouse burned down and farmers were later, people would come by and say, we own the mineral rights to your land here. And it's hard to prove or disprove that. And there are other cases in southern West Virginia where, you know, people might be coaxed into selling their mineral rights for pennies on the acre. Even after the worst abuses were corrected, there was still this history of using up the place and using up the people, and also creating degrading images of Appalachia, just the way racism had to be constructed to justify slavery. Appalachian stereotypes were created about the same time that we were being colonized to justify us being savages who need to be improved.
Well, that's a good point. You know that there's this history of when people pay attention to you, it's usually paying attention to you to make fun of you in some way. Jesse Camp said when he pulled over to talk to the kids that ended up being the source of all this, he said he pulled over to talk to these quote-unquote obese kids. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting thing to say. Well, did you say that because you thought obese was interesting or Appalachian or different looking?
I think it's really interesting to see, to look at how we seem to have kind of a fascination with rural poverty, which is what we see here in West Virginia. It's almost as if that's kind of picturesque in a way. And one reason I think that might be is because the poverty that you see here is so different from what your typical white Northeastern, you know, liberal has experienced. The faces of poverty that those people are used to are brown and black faces living in the inner cities. And then coming here, you see rural poverty, largely white people, and it's almost exotic in some way. And it's almost like it's okay to take photos and talk about that in a way that's different from how we would be portraying and talking about poverty in a city.
Because you've taken the racial aspect out of it, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, look, we have poor white people. How about that? It's amazing.
I have gotten a lot of phone calls and emails from people over the year who want to come here and are fascinated in Appalachia because of the white face of poverty. And part of me says, oh, why should we be so lucky? You know, yeah, not that I'm a jaded. But again, I think it's important to state that usually think of an outsider as a person without power. But in West Virginia, traditionally, when we say outsiders, they usually mean people with power because most of our state's been owned and controlled by outsiders for 100 years.
So it's the 50th anniversary of the VISTA program. This is a great example of that. I'm a former VISTA. One of the things I've learned about the beginnings of the VISTA program was that it was almost entirely outsiders coming into Appalachia. It was designed that way. Young, idealistic, educated people coming in to help, quote unquote, help all these communities. Isn't that offensive? Isn't that entire idea offensive?
This was at the same time that Appalachia was sending their kids to Vietnam, just to be clear. So that might contextualize it a little bit.
Oh, in other words, the wealthy or privileged kids come here and get to feel like they're doing their service relatively safely, while the dirty work's being done by the kids who live here.
And generally, the way Appalachian people were treated were generally good enough to work in mines or serve in the military or get killed in that, not necessarily good enough to live in a place that's clean and where they're treated decently and paid well.
Yeah, I think when you look at a program like VISTA, that's the kind of thing that usually Americans go abroad to do, right? You join the Peace Corps and you go to Africa.
You know what's fascinating is that the very beginnings of VISTA, the Appalachian Volunteers Program, it was set up for the very purpose of training people over the summer that would go into the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. We were seen almost like the training ground for the third world.
JV for the Peace Corps.
Exactly.
It's both fascinating for the privileged people in America that this is going on, and you can understand that it is humiliating in a way and degrading to the people who are receiving the help.
Let's talk about the most famous VISTA in America, probably, Jay Rockefeller, former senator. West Virginia Public Broadcasting has just completed a documentary about him that's going to air in June 22nd. So he comes down here with all those other VISTAs, having been in the Peace Corps before, and his friend Charlie Peter says, you know what, you don't even know your country. Go back to my home state of West Virginia. Get to know poverty there. And he goes to help the people of Emmons, West Virginia.
Being a VISTA volunteer is an incredibly intimate experience. I was this tall stranger coming from the city that everybody loved to hate and with a name that lots of people loved to hate. And so what was I doing there? It was hard to explain it to myself even at the time, but I was trying to get out of my comfort zone and to learn what real people in the real world, what they face, what they're up against.
A man of privilege, a person of power, trying to use that power to help the people who need it? What's wrong with that?
I think he transcended that. Again, I think an outsider is not necessarily someone from another place. An outsider, when I think of the term, I think of a little sort of colonial arrogance, whether it's the colonialism of the left or right. And I think Rockefeller really transcended that. So I would say, and also if we're going to have—
When you say he transcended that, like, is that because he worked so hard to be with the people? I mean, that was a big deal with him. Visit the flood sites. He would hug the old ladies that were hurt. He would go down in the coal mines. Is that what helped him overcome it eventually, that label?
If someone would have come here and done their couple years in Emmons and rolled out, big deal, right? But he actually stayed. And again, a lot of the policies he supported have actually helped a lot of people, like children's health insurance program. He left his fingerprints all over that. There are practically no uninsured kids in West Virginia now, largely because of that. So, I mean, he actually did the work. So, again, it's not a matter of where you come. I used to believe that, like, all flatlanders were devils, Scott, but I've gotten beyond that. I'm even willing to concede that you might not be a devil, too.
It's possible.
We might need to circle back to the fire department question, though, in a minute.
Okay, circle back. So what did I do wrong? I think I should have gone to the founding fathers of the Hearts Volunteer Fire Department and basically said, hey, I want to join. I didn't do that. I just trained and showed up and expected to be in just by being there. Was that my problem?
I think it might have been. Also, I think I'm a sort of recipient of hillbilly affirmative action in that I grew up beside the fire station so much that I didn't even notice the whistle when it went off. And my dad was a member briefly, so when my wife and I asked to join, they felt sorry for me and let me in. And I'm a mechanical idiot, but they put up with me for a while. And you probably would have been really awesome on all the gear. You know, I was good at, like, rolling hose and stuff like that and doing all the grunt work. So,
but that's because they all know who you were. And in Appalachia, it's a lovely thing, but for an outsider, it's also kind of frustrating because you're not in that in crowd. Something that I hear a lot, that people say a lot, I wish our children wouldn't have to leave. I wish we could get our children to stay here. And I mean, I get that. As a parent, I get that. But it's almost like there's this idea that if we could just keep everybody in West Virginia inside West Virginia.
Well, and what you don't hear in that is, I wish other people's children would come here.
Exactly.
You hear, we want to keep our kids home, but there isn't that reaching out to have other new people coming in.
At this point in our history, we have the lowest percentage of immigrant population in the entire United States. And part of that's surely economic. But I wonder how much of it is this, the lack of feeling like maybe we'd be better off if we made an effort to welcome outsiders, if we had a healthy mix where it's okay for our kids to leave home and it's okay for other people's kids mm-hmm. to come here.
I would totally agree. I think one important thing that we really need to do is get out the message that West Virginia is a welcoming place. And I mean, I think there are people who are trying to get that message across right now, but we need to step it up and prove it. And that's why unfortunate incidents, you know, can set that effort back. If someone would have given me this script of people conspicuously from another place going to an isolated rural area in West Virginia and just going around taking pictures without talking to people, I would have said, that's probably not going to end well. I would have called it culturally ahead of time. And I would never have done that if I was in McDowell County taking pictures. It would never have happened. I would have gone about it completely differently. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's a cultural thing that people step into.
So the camps are, at best, they're being a little bit culturally insensitive to not realize that there's this whole history here of documentary photographers and videographers and people and just people who just are curious coming into their communities. Again, I don't want to blame the victim. They obviously had the scary experience that no one should have to go through. This seems like a tragedy of people who were maybe careless but well-meaning, and people who have a history and also were concerned and well-meaning. And it all comes across as some sort of, it's really sad.
You kind of step in the middle of somebody else's movie. It kind of reminds me of the movie Do the Right Thing, you know, the Spike Lee film or something like that, that is caught up. I mean, it is really sad what happened. It's an avoidable thing. I mean, it's the kind of thing I think we need to work to avoid and get out the message that West Virginia is a welcoming place. But again, let's not forget that there are reasons why some of us have concerns about why the whole outsider issue exists, and there are economic reasons behind it, historical and cultural reasons behind it, or just a social fact here.
All right, and ask also whether the suspicion of outsiders is it just limited to places like McDowell, or is it also a dynamic in, you know, middle class in Charleston? Is it going on there as well?
That's a really good point. I can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all having this conversation and being brave and open on this. And Lori, you and I have talked a little bit too, so you still haven't been to McDowell County. And we have a program where we work with some of the schools and kids in the county. Open invitation. If we can bring you with us, are you interested in coming?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And can I bring my camera?
Yes, I think you can if we handle it right.
Right. If you have the introduction from somebody they know.
I think that's really the key. So that's the Front Porch. Thank you all for listening today. We're available on West Virginia Public Broadcasting's website, wvpublic.org. I want to thank Lori Lynn from the Charleston Daily Mail and Rick Wilson from the American Friends Service Committee for joining us today and touching the third rail of Appalachian culture, which is outsiders in Appalachia. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.